Last week, we really looked at how the resurrection changes everything. If you were here, we talked about that the goal of Christianity is not to simply go to heaven when you die, where you have kind of on a cloud with a harp all throughout eternity, kind of your spirit in some existential existence. But instead, the ultimate goal of Christianity is that Christ comes back and our bodies come back to life after they've been dead. But they're new bodies. They're resurrected bodies that never age, never die, are full of life, vibrant, strong, handsome, dark, beautiful, all those kind of stuff, okay? That's who we are in the resurrection, and we live the life we're supposed to, full, doing things and building the kingdom of God for the glory of God. So if you're thinking, man, I got to live it up now because later's not going to be any good, completely the other way around. Eternity, the resurrection, is going to be the absolute most glory and pleasure and fun that you could ever imagine. And we're going to be with King Jesus forever. So we talked about how the resurrection really changes everything. And this weekend is Resurrection Sunday. It's Easter Sunday, the weekend we celebrate the resurrection of Christ. So what I thought would be kind of neat is if we just took a time out. And what I want to do is just very sort of an apologetic type message. And here's what I want to look at. Is there historical evidence that the resurrection of Christ actually happened? Like, here we are in the 21st century, and most of us have faith. We believe in Jesus. We believe in the resurrection. And what some people will say is, well, that's just something for faith. It's just that you have faith and kind of this idea that Jesus rose from the dead, but there's no real historical proof. There's nothing that backs that up. And sort of the modern skeptic would say, look, miracles don't happen. Dead people don't rise from the grave. So it's just impossible. There's no evidence. It never happened. So if you have faith, that's good. But if you are a real person and like science and those type of things, then of course you're not going to believe in the resurrection. So what I want us to ask the question tonight is that true? Is believing in the resurrection only a faith jump? Or is it actually the most logical explanation was that 2,000 years ago, Jesus Christ rose from the dead? And what I want us to see tonight is if you don't have your fingers in your ear and you're not closing your eyes to every bit of evidence, what you will find is the resurrection of Christ happened. 100%. I think the evidence is overwhelmingly that Jesus Christ rose from the dead. So what I want to do is just kind of build the evidence. And I want to look at sort of 10 things from history that I think prove the resurrection really happened. And then I want to look through some skeptical questions about the resurrection. What people say, why the resurrection didn't happen. And I want us to kind of dive into those tonight. So it's going to be a little different. But right off the bat, I want us to go to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Because Paul thinks the resurrection is quite important. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. If you have a Bible under your chair, it's probably page 961. If it's not, you got the other copy. And I don't know what page number is, but it's somewhere in the New Testament. So page 961 if you got the right Bible under your chair. If not, it's another number. What is it? 1 Corinthians 15. 624? All right, 624. And if you'd stand out of reverence for the Word of God, we're going to read, and I need you to be little studious apologists tonight, okay? With notes, pens out, focus, because we're just going to go. Everybody got your seatbelt on? Like, once we park, it's going to be, let's go, all right? So here's what the verse says in verse 3. For I delivered to you as of first importance what I also received. Paul says, look, this is huge. This is important. This is everything. Here's what it is. That Christ died for our sins in accordance with the scriptures, that he was buried, and he was what? Raised on the third day in accordance with the scriptures. And then he appeared to Cephas, that's Peter, then to the 12, and he appeared to more than 500 brothers at one time, most of whom are still alive, though some have fallen asleep. Then he appeared to James, then to all the apostles, last of all, as one untimely born, he appeared also to me. Father, I thank you tonight for the chance just to come into your house and look at the resurrection. And God, I pray that if anyone in here doubts the resurrection, they would look to just the evidence and they would overwhelmingly believe that you rose from the dead. And I pray that that knowledge would lead them to confess you as Lord with their mouth and believe in your heart that God raised Jesus from the dead. We pray this in the good name of Jesus. Amen. All right, so there's probably two groups in here. One group just doesn't believe in the resurrection, okay? If you're in here, this is awesome. I want you to plug in. There's another group who believes in the resurrection, but guess what? You've got friends, you've got adults around you who don't believe in the resurrection. So if that's you, take notes. Get some of this down. Take out your phone, like whatever you need to, jot this stuff down so that when you have a conversation, you can say, hey, let's look at just history. Let's see what the resurrection is really about. The first thing I want to say about the resurrection is this. Resurrection is not life after death. Okay, what some people think when we say Jesus rose from the dead is Jesus died and went to heaven. I've got a lot of friends who I absolutely believe have died and have gone to heaven. Okay, they're not the Savior Messiah. Jesus didn't die and go to heaven. Jesus rose from the dead. His dead body physically came back alive in this time, and he walked around for 40 days interacting with people, teaching people, eating, sleeping, doing everything that an alive person does. He was raised from the dead after being dead 3 days. Okay? He didn't like resuscitate. He rose from the dead. So that's important. He didn't just poof disappear. Okay? Last night, we did for our little kids these things called resurrection rolls. Has anybody heard of resurrection roll? Yes, some of you have done it. They're really cool, and I got a lot of fun doing these. But what you do in the resurrection roll is you have a marshmallow. And the marshmallow represents Jesus because he's sinless, he's white. So here's Finley and Kreider and Garnet's laying on the table, and Katie's here, and I'm here. I got my phone out. We're videoing, taking pictures and stuff. And we got these little marshmallows. And you have this bowl of butter and a bowl of cinnamon. And what you do is you take the marshmallow and you dip it in the butter. You're anointing Jesus' body after he died. And then you take it in the cinnamon and you're putting spices on Jesus' body. We're reading the scripture. It's awesome. We're burying Jesus. And then what's cool is you take rolls, like, you know, that you get out of the can, like, you know, you turn it on, it goes pop. You know those? I love those cans. So it pops open. You put the dough out and you put the marshmallow in the center, and then you roll the dough around the marshmallow and you close it all up, and it makes the burial shroud of Jesus. Okay, so you got the little burial shroud there. And then what happens is then you go to the tomb, and we like marched into the kitchen, the tomb, you know, and we let Kreider open the tomb, and he's like a guard, rolls the stone away, which was the oven, puts it down, and then we put, you know, a lot of Jesus's bodies, which is kind of weird, all in the tomb, and then we shut it, right? And then 10 minutes represented 3 days. So we're you know, panicking, we're the disciples, we're crying, our master's gone, everything's ruined. And then we come back, and 3 days later, right, 10 minutes, we open the oven, and we pull them out, and you have these nice, pretty rolls. And we set them out, we let them cool for a little bit, and then we let Kreider and Finley take them, and we say, all right, bite into it. And when you bite into it, all of a sudden, it's hollow on the inside because the marshmallow has melted. It's disappeared. And it's like, sweet, there's no Jesus. He's gone, right? He's disappeared. It's a resurrection roll. We're like, yeah, Jesus rose from the dead. You need to do this when you get home because they taste amazing, okay? I like everybody's. They were so good. But anyway, so that's the resurrection roll. And it was really cool. But in a sense, it didn't quite tell the story of the resurrection, because what it stopped at was there's no body. And it was almost as if to say what Jesus did was poof, he disappeared. That's not the resurrection. Yes, there was an empty tomb, but there was also a body that was alive that showed up to people, and people poked him, and he ate fish, and he did things that alive people do. So we need to like, so I got like the marshmallow, and I'm like, here he is. Here's Jesus. Marshmallow's back. Yeah, so I finished the story. They left out, all right? So, but usually when we talk about the resurrection, sometimes we miss the point of, oh yeah, he came back to life. It's not just he disappeared and went to heaven. No, he came back to life and he walked on earth. He was truly resurrected. So, how do we know that this thing was true? I mean, how many of you guys were there? Anybody? Anybody saw Jesus rise from the dead? How do you know it was true? How do you know it happened? Can you really look back in history and say, yep, I know because of this? Or is it just, well, I kind of just have faith. And I don't have any evidence. I don't have any proof. I just have faith. And what I want to say is there's a whole lot of proof. So, point number one, historical evidence for the resurrection. That's your big title. Here's number one, historical evidence is just the spread of Christianity. That's point number one, the spread of Christianity. You cannot explain the spread of Christianity in the early church in the first several years apart from the resurrection of Jesus Christ. In other words, how did the gospel go from 120 people believing in Jesus, then Jesus dying, and then all of a sudden those 120 people going throughout all the globe preaching about this guy who came back to life, and thousands upon thousands upon thousands of people are believing it, giving their lives to it, even at the sake of losing their life? I mean, Caesar, who's the Roman emperor, would take people and say, if you don't confess I am Lord and Jesus is not, I'm going to kill you and your family. And you know what the early believers would say? Jesus is Lord. And Caesar would kill them and their family. And you know what happened? More people believed. More people believed. The gospel spread. The gospel spread. As they were throwing them in lions' dens and they were ripping their bodies apart, more people were believing. As they used them in gladiator games where wild beasts were sent to devour them, more people were believing, more people were believing. The gospel continued to spread. The early church continued to grow. Now, just historically looking at that, how do you explain it? How do you explain the church exploded in growth even though they were being persecuted like crazy? How do you explain it? I think there's only one logical way to explain that. Jesus Christ rose from the dead. I mean, that's the only logical explanation. That guy who died, he's not dead anymore. And those people who are following, they know it and they believe it and they're giving their lives for it. So the first evidence is just the spread of Christianity. So when you're talking to someone, ask them, well, how did Christianity spread if their Messiah died and he stayed dead? There's really no answer, but he got back alive. Jesus rose from the dead. The second thing is kind of similar. It's this, the transformation of the disciples. Have you ever thought about this? Do you remember Peter before the resurrection? How bold was he? How bold was Peter? Not at all, right? Like, he was scared. He denied Jesus three times, even to this little girl who came up to him. He's like, hey, I'm scared. I'm going. He's like completely scared. All the disciples abandoned Jesus. They're all scared. They're all tuck-tailing and running. And then all of a sudden, a few weeks later, a few months later, all of the disciples are standing up proclaiming Jesus Christ has been raised from the dead. And check this. 11 out of the 12 lost their life as a martyr. Peter was hanged upside down. John, the only one who wasn't martyred, they tried to bull him alive. Imagine a big pot of boiling water and they stick you in it to cook you. They bulled him alive, but it didn't take. He didn't die. He actually escaped from that. So he's the only one that wasn't martyred, but they sure did try. So how do you explain disciples who denied Jesus to his face while he was still alive, but then all of a sudden they're all willing to risk their very lives and they're boldly proclaiming him wherever they go? How do you explain their transformation? The only logical answer is that they saw Jesus rise from the dead and it proved that he was king and he was God, and because of that it changed everything. Because they saw the risen Lord, they were willing to give their very lives for him and his kingdom. That's the only explanation. Another example is that, think about Saul to Paul. Everyone knows Saul? Remember Saul? He was a murderer of Christians. He hated the Christians. He thought Jesus was a complete scam. He did not believe he was the Messiah. He's going to kill everyone who tries to follow Jesus. And then what happens? Who does Saul meet? Jesus. The guy is saying, hey, he's still dead. This whole thing's a sham. Oh, Jesus. There you are. And upon seeing the risen Savior, what does Saul do? He changes his whole life. He goes from murdering Christians to an apostle who preaches to Christians and who plants churches and who gives his life in Rome. They cut his head off at the end of his life. How do you explain that transformation? I mean, just objectively looking at what happened in Saul's life, and now that he's Paul, a murderer of Christians to an apostle who preaches the gospel. How do you explain that? The only logical explanation to look back from historical perspective is this. He saw Jesus Christ rise from the dead. He saw the risen Lord, and it changed everything about his life. So we'll go to the fourth evidence, historical evidence of the resurrection. Here's the fourth one. That the witnesses at the tomb, the first witnesses there were women. Now, you might think, why is that an historical evidence for the resurrection? Well, you've got to know something about their culture that was very distinct from our culture. Okay? Back then, women were not allowed to be witnesses. So, like, if there was a dispute and you had to go to court and you have to have a witness for something, only men could give witness to something that happened. Women were not allowed to give a witness. So follow with me here. Here's the logic. The disciples in the early church made up this whole story. This whole resurrection, they made it all up. Now, think about this. If you were going to make up a story, would you put that the first witnesses on the scene were women who were not able, historically, in that present situation, to give a credible witness? There's no way you would put it like that. Who would you have at the tomb to be a witness? Peter, James, one of the apostles, one of the disciples. You see, if they made this story up, there's no way they would use the women to be the first witnesses. So why did they tell it like this? Because that's how it really happened. The women were the faithful ones who went to the tomb, and that was how it really went down. So they had to tell it that way because that's what really happened. So in other words, if they made this story up, they would have told it a completely different way. They would not have used the witnesses that we see in Scripture. So just looking at that situation, it gives great evidence that what really happened in the Gospels really happened. The women were the first witnesses there. The fifth thing that we're going to see is there were more than 500 witnesses who saw Jesus rise from the dead. Did everybody see in 1 Corinthians, what did Paul say? Hey, we saw him rise from the dead, and guess what? There's 500 other people who saw him. Just go. Go check it out. And you know what's really amazing if you think about it? The apostles preached that Jesus rose from the dead beginning where? Where did they start? Anybody remember? Where did they start? Pentecost, where's that at? What location? What city? Jerusalem. So they're preaching a message about a risen Savior in Jerusalem. What happened in Jerusalem? Jesus was crucified in Jerusalem. So if it didn't happen, do you really think this message would have took hold in Jerusalem? But because it really happened, they could preach it. You know what they could say? Hey, you don't believe us? There's 500 people you can go check out, and they'll tell you the same story. For instance, last week, how many of you guys were not here last week? Raise your hands. Shame on you. You missed my birthday. Hope you feel good about yourself. All right, yes. The hands of shame. Now, last week, at the end of service, my wife surprised me with a birthday party. It was awesome. Completely surprised me. This birthday party after I had videos, I had refreshments. It was great. Now, let's just say if Mariah is like, I don't believe that. I don't believe you had a birthday party last week. No, I don't believe that for a second. Well, you know what I tell Mariah? If you were here last week, go ahead and raise your hands. Okay, Mariah, if you don't believe me, just ask anybody with their hands up. Because they were all here and they all saw it. You see how that works? Like, Paul's not saying, hey, I've got this secret thing. I saw Jesus, and I'm going to try to convince you. No, Paul says, look, this is a fact. You don't believe me? There's 500 people you can go ask. They all saw him. They all felt him. They all touched him. This is not a disputable fact in the first century. This was 100% he rose from the dead. People saw it. It was verified. So Paul could say he rose from the dead. You don't believe me? Just go check it out. Just go ask around town. Guess what? You'll run into somebody who saw him, and he or she can also back it up. So just the number of witnesses gives strong evidence to the fact that Jesus really did rise from the dead. Here's another historical evidence of the resurrection. From Genesis till the early church, what day did people come to the temple and worship? Does anybody know? Saturday. What's Saturday? The Sabbath. So you've got, for thousands of years, the Jews are coming on the Sabbath day, they're worshiping on the Sabbath day, and then all of a sudden, Easter happens, the resurrection happens, and on one day, the early church switches from Saturday worship to Sunday worship. Why the change? Why, from this historical purpose, after Jesus' death and resurrection, does the whole church change its day of worship? How do you explain that historically? Why did they change? The answer is because on Sunday, Jesus rose from the dead. And it changed their whole religion. It changed the whole way they did things. Now, the day of worship was not Saturday. Now, the day of worship is Sunday, the day that Jesus rose from the dead. Huge evidence to say what happened is Jesus really did rise from the dead. Number 7 is the early church worshiped Jesus as God. Now, this was a big deal because there's only one God and you can only worship him. So when the early Christians worshiped Jesus as God, they got in trouble. And their brothers who were Jews were like, hey, you can't worship Jesus because he's not God. There's only one God. You know what they would say? Here's the deal. We saw him rise from the dead and he said he was God and he backed it up. So we're worshiping him as God. So the early church, they worshiped Jesus as God. Why? Because they saw him rise from the dead. Here's even a bigger evidence, I think, in the eighth one is this. Even his family worshiped him as God. His mom and his brothers worshiped him as God. Now, how many of you think it'd be weird if your mom started worshiping you as God? Anybody? You're like, no, that's what she should do. Look at me. You know? How many think it would be weird if your brothers started worshiping you and praying to you? Would that be weird? Kind of strange, right? I mean, your family kind of knows you. Like, you can kind of put off on other people a front, but you can't front with your family. They just know you. They know your faults. They know all your blemishes. Well, here's what Jesus' mom and his brothers do. After the resurrection, before the resurrection, to be honest, they thought he was a little crazy. They're like, hey, you're going too far with this stuff about being God's son and all that. But then after the resurrection, you know what happened? Mary and his brother James and the other brothers, you know what they did? They started worshiping him and praying to him as God. Why would they do that? Because they witnessed him rise from the dead. They saw it with their own eyes. Jesus rose from the dead. And then the last thing we're going to look at in the positive section is this, is just the spread of Christianity to today. I mean, think 120 to some a couple of billion on planet Earth today who call themselves Christians. Think about that, 120 to a couple of billion. How does that happen apart from the resurrection? Because in a sense, Christianity, it is a resurrection religion. It's the whole thing is built on the fact that Jesus Christ rose from the dead. So what we've looked at is evidences for the resurrection. And really quickly, I just want to deal with a few questions people have or a few objections people have about the resurrection. I'm going to skip over a couple. I'm going to start with number 3. Here's one thing that's very common is the disciples paid the guards or they stole the body, then made up whole story. Have you ever heard that before? Well, the disciples just stole the body. They paid off the guards and then here they are. They've got the body and they made up this whole story. And one of the early church fathers had probably the best argument. He said, you know, would men be willing to give their very lives for something they knew was a lie? I mean, think about it. If they made this whole thing up, when push comes to shove and John's getting ready to be boiled in a pot of hot water, do you think he'd be like, ha, joking, it's a lie, he's dead, we made it up? You wouldn't give your life for something that you knew was a complete lie. They didn't make it up. They didn't steal the body because they wouldn't have been willing to give up their lives for this. And if you think about the disciples and the early church, they were a church of very high standards when it comes to morality. They would teach, do not lie. They would teach all these things that you need to do to be men of integrity. So do you think those same men who are teaching others to be men of integrity would build this whole religion on a lie they made up? I mean, it makes no sense to say that they stole the body and then they were willing to die. And all these witnesses all got together and made up the same story. Here's another one that a lot of people will say. It's called the swoon theory. That sounds cool. The swoon theory. And here's what the swoon theory says. Is that Jesus, when he was on the cross, he suffered, he was beaten, but on the cross, he passed out. He didn't die, he just passed out. And they took him down from the cross and they laid him in a tomb. And then when he got in the tomb and the cold air came, he was like, and he kind of came to and he's like, hey, I'm in a tomb. I got to get out. And he walks out. And then a few people saw him like out of the tomb. Hey, he's not here. He's out of the tomb. He rose from the dead. And it was just like he didn't really die. He just kind of, you know, passed out and then came back too, but he never really died and was raised again. It's kind of one of the theories that's very popular in our modern culture. And there's a few really, really big things to say just against kind of the swoon theory. And one of them is that in one of the appearances, Jesus showed up on the road to Damascus. And if you read your Bible in Luke, it says it was 7 miles from Jerusalem. So imagine this. Does everybody remember when Nick went through the crucifixion? How gruesome that was? Like taking a cat of nine tails and slapping Jesus on the back and ripping flesh, pulling it from ribs going everywhere, flesh going everywhere, blood just pouring out of him, and crown of thorns, beat down. Now he's hanging on a cross for 6 hours, can't even walk, can't move, completely bloody mess. That's what Jesus was. And then if you remembered, a Roman guard came and they shoved a spear through his side, up through his heart, and blood and water poured out. Okay? That's what happened to Jesus. And by the way, a side note, the Romans knew how to kill people. They were professional executioners. They knew to look at a person and say, yep, he's dead. There's his heart. He's gone. But the theory is, no, he was just kind of fainting. So they pulled him down. They put him in a tomb. Now you're telling me that guy, bloody mess, gets up and goes for a 7-mile jog to Damascus. Hey, what's up, guys? I'm good. Yeah, just pass it on the cross, but I'm fine now. Yeah, oh, a little blood. Oh, that's nothing. You got a Band-Aid? Like, are you kidding me? If he would have went on the cross and kind of passed out, he would have not been able to even move, let alone go 7 miles and to appear to some guys as just a normal guy. They would have been like, ah, what happened to you? There's like a trail of blood and guts behind you. We need to take you to the emergency room right now. You are dying. That's not what happened. Why? Because he didn't just swoon and then come out the same guy. He rose from the dead in a new body that was fully healed. Healed to never die again. Healed to be completely full for all of eternity. Just like our resurrection bodies will be. So there's no way he just kind of passed out. No, he died and he rose from the grave. Another one of my favorite ones is the women went to the wrong tomb. I love this one. It's like they just went to the wrong tomb. They're like, oh, he's gone. Woo! Let's make up this whole religion about he rose from the dead because this is awesome. He's empty tomb. And it was like the next tomb, he's in there dead. But they got the wrong one. Well, if you read the Gospels, the women went to the tomb and saw him get laid in the tomb. They knew exactly what tomb it was. Everyone knew what tomb it was. But even more than that, we don't base our belief in the resurrection on an empty tomb. Some of you might believe that. How do we know the resurrection is true? Because there's an empty tomb, and it's still empty today. Yes, that's true, and that gives evidence, but that's not the reason we believe in the resurrection. The reason we believe in the resurrection is because he appeared to people, over 500 people, and they touched him and they poked him and they said, you're real, you've raised from the dead. And in light of that, it changed their whole world, and they went and they preached Jesus Christ has risen from the dead. What about, well, all this is in the Bible, right? I mean, all the evidence is in the Bible, and I don't believe the Bible, so I don't believe in the resurrection because it's all in the Bible, and I don't believe the Bible, so what else do you got? We know there's all kinds of historical evidence from that time period that talks about the resurrection. For instance, one guy, I won't read the whole quote, his name is Josephus. He's one of the non-Christians who lived during Jesus' day and right after he would have rose from the dead. And what he writes is an orderly account to say, this guy Jesus, these people are following him, and you know what's crazy? He rose from the dead. I don't believe it. I'm not giving myself in faith to him, but he rose from the dead. It's just a fact. I'm just writing as a historian. Here's what happened. Jesus Christ rose from the dead. This is not in the Bible. This is outside the Bible. This is a historical piece of information that Josephus, as a pure historian, is writing, telling, here's what happened. Jesus rose from the dead. And not only that, but outside the Bible, you have this whole story of the church. This whole movement of a people gathering around this idea that Jesus rose from the dead and then building it to what it is today. So we can look not just to the Bible, we can look to the church and say, look, something must have happened that Easter morning. Jesus must have rose from the dead. So I hope tonight, the whole goal was to just let you kind of get a view of you're not just blindly jumping in the dark on faith. It is the most logical conclusion when you look back at world history to say, the only explanation is Jesus rose from the dead. That's the only explanation. He really did rise from the dead. That's the only thing we got. That's the only way we can explain what happened to the early church, what happened to Christianity, what happened in that time period is that Jesus Christ really rose from the dead. So my question to you is, do you believe it? Do you believe it? I mean, here's all the evidence laid out. But you know, it doesn't mean anything unless you believe it. Unless you believe, you know what, Jesus rose from the dead and it changes everything in my life. Because you know what my biggest proof to you is that Jesus Christ rose from the dead? Me. Here I am. And you know what? If Jesus didn't rise from the dead, I would not be here. I would be somewhere far from here. And I would probably have a broken marriage if I was even married. I might have some illegitimate children. I'm just being honest. I might be drunk somewhere. I might be high somewhere. I would be somewhere other than this. But you know what happened? Jesus Christ rose from the dead. And you know what happened? When I believed in that, he raised me from the dead. So I'm no longer dead in my sins, living for Corey, but I'm alive, living for Christ. So my biggest evidence to you would be, just look at me. I believed in the resurrection. You know what? The resurrection is not just a historical fact. It's something that changed my whole life. It changed my whole world. And if it haven't, has it changed your life? Has it changed your world? Because the resurrection is true, whether you believe it or not. What I hope is that you will not just believe it, but that you would give your life to it, and that his resurrection will become your resurrection. Let's close in prayer. Father, I thank you for just the evidence that we can look and say without a shadow of a doubt, no matter what the world says, when we just look at the facts, it's overwhelming that you raised from the dead. It's overwhelming that it's true. But God, I know there's some in here that know that both mentally but also experientially. They've experienced the resurrection. They've went from death to life. And there's some in here who haven't yet. And God, I pray for them, even if we go into small groups, that maybe they'd want to have a conversation with our small group leader and say, I haven't had the resurrection, but I want this Easter Sunday. I want to be different. I want to be resurrected with Jesus because I want to have a new life. So God, I pray that you continue to work and you continue to move even as we transition into our small group time. We pray this in the good name of Jesus. Amen.